Welcome back to the Weekly Geekly. As always, I'm Mikey Kolsheen.
I'm Tori Kroll.
And with us today is the man who draws stuff from your nightmares, Alex Pardee. Alex, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I think they're actually from really erotic dreams.
Rather than that's a great interpretation.
That gives me a tingly feeling.
Deep inside.
Just way deep in there.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice. Absolutely. I really appreciate you making it on the show, man. I've been a huge follower of your work for a while.
It's true.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to be that guy. I've actually got Chatham on my arm right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
I kind of fell in love with that. I was already listening to The Used, and then I saw that cover, and I was just like, it's so hypnotizing. When he looks at you, it's just like it encapsulates the weirdness of that album to me. I was like, this is so perfect, you know?
Yeah, that was such a fun project, too. Such a long project, but fun.
You need to, like, Instagram that and tag him or something. It's a pretty sweet tattoo, actually.
Yeah, I'll send you a pic. It's not bad.
I like it.
How does that make you feel when people get, like, tattoos of your work? Is that a weird feeling?
Oh, no, yeah, it's an indescribable feeling. It's definitely cool. It, you know, like, I think earlier on in my career, it would happen every now and then, and it would be more like, I was a lot more apologetic of, like, my art back then, because it was weird. So, like, when somebody would get a tattoo or something, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm sorry, I ruined you, you know? But, like, that's not the reason they got the tattoo. So it was, like, a weird reaction. But then once I pretty quickly realized that, like, people get tattoos because they mean something and they want them forever. So it pretty quickly was like, okay, that's a really cool feeling, actually. Like, thank you.
That's gotta feel cool. And, like, interesting to see what people get, because the thing about your work is you've got so many different types of characters, you know? So it's interesting to see what people get and where to me.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I always, like, I do, like, encourage, like, people ask me if they can get, you know, permission to get tattoos, which I think is a funny thing in general, because, like, nobody can tell, like, no one's going to sue you and rip your skin off.
What are they going to do?
But it's a nice gesture, but also, like, I encourage, I don't draw specifically for tattoo design. Like, tattoo art is a completely its own unique kind of concept. So I always encourage people to, like, find a tattoo artist that can, you know, interpret it or, like, kind of mold it to fit the style that they're doing instead of kind of an exact replica.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's like the lines are really thin or they can't get the watercolory messes correctly and stuff. But it's definitely a cool feeling.
That's a good point, because your work, you do a lot of watercolors, and, like, the detail itself on tattoos is hard. So it would have to be pretty big, you know?
Right.
That's a good point. I do like that, though. Your work to me is, it's like a combination of chaos and order in the way that, like, some of it I don't feel like you planned, but then some of it I feel like you did. You know what I mean? Like, and it meshes together in this weird way.
Yeah, I've always been like I've always, like, intended my art to have that kind of, like, you know, good versus evil, light versus darkness, funny versus dark, and so just, like, that confusing juxtaposition is kind of what I've always... I didn't intentionally go for it in the beginning, but once I kind of realized that's what I like doing, that's what I went for.
So I just have to ask, and I'm sure it varies upon the different art that you do, but is most of your artwork planned or an in-the-moment thought process of just, like, a free flow, your brain goes wild and your hand is moving with it, creativity? You know what I'm saying?
I'd say the final result is a mixture of both. I have a really hard, like, I have a hard time actually planning something, like, exactly. So, like, if I genuinely was like, all right, today I'm going to draw this weird unicorn monster with a little square guy riding it, and then maybe there's some clouds, but, like, I'll have a hard time. I'll get stuck on what that's supposed to look like. But if I sit down with something like that in mind and then I just scribble and something totally different comes out of it, then it's kind of a mixture of both. And, like, I'm really fascinated with shapes and with kind of making, you know, this kind of, like, cloud technique of scribbling and seeing, like, what I can make out of those shapes that I haven't seen before, and adding elements to it and kind of sculpting it in this sketch form until it just becomes something that might be subconscious or might be like developed halfway through. I might come up with an idea for something specific for it.
So every single experience of like just starting blank is different, you'd say?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, with the exception of commercial work, which is actually a lot more difficult for me in the beginning process, because, you know, a lot of times if I get hired for something commercially, there's definitely parameters. And even if someone's like, all right, we want you to draw a leprechaun, like even that little of direction is like a different starting point than when I do just like kind of my free flowing art.
That's kind of like no direction at all. Just draw a leprechaun. Like, I'm sure you're like, I would make it so fucked up looking, but they're like, no.
That's what I dealt with for years and years and years. And so it's only until recently, like now that I don't do much more commercial work, it's kind of like I kind of discovered that I didn't like that as much. Like, not that I didn't appreciate it, but it's more like it's not. I don't know, I guess it's versus, like, if you say you're, like, an animator at home, but you get an animation job in the studio, you know, just animating, like, the wheels on a car for 20 hours a day. It's different than if you did it at home. So, yeah.
Wow. I could not. I love art, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if I could. I need something where I'm, like, walking around and, like, doing right. stuff.
You need to be moving.
Yeah, I need to be moving.
It gets pretty hermity. You know, but it's, I think it's, there's that freedom to get up and walk around whenever you want.
True. That's yeah, really cool.
Kind of be your own boss, make your own sketch.
I think animation's really awesome.
Yeah, I've seen the Chatham animation, like that little series. Do you do any more animated work with your art?
I actually am in the middle of developing and pitching a couple of different animated shows. I've done a few little things in the side. I did another video for The Used. I did their All That I've Got video, which had about 30 seconds of animation. And I've done, you know, like some phone apps with some minor animation, but nothing as big as the Chatham thing, which that was actually animated in and created in the using the Unreal Engine, which is a video game engine.
Oh, awesome.
So that was definitely not traditional animation at all. It was a totally different process, which was really cool to learn.
Now, what got you into that, or what just like set off in your mind that was the place to go to, or that this is what you wanted to do?
Well, just to kind of give a little refresher on that, in case anybody who's listening isn't familiar, I was the art director for a band called The Used, and for about 6 or 7 years, and during the time their album that came out called Lies for the Liars, I created a mascot character for the album whose name was Chatham. And I ended up developing this whole story and backstory and world for them to go along with a lot of their marketing materials and stuff like that. And at the time, we got approached by Warner Brothers Television to do an animated version of using that character. And I pitched the idea as a big rubber practical Dark Crystal style world, because we had already built a lot of the characters, so we already had a lot of the costumes and characters and stuff, but they weren't ready to invest like $20 million into it, which is fine. I was angry at the time, but it's fine.
Well, of course.
Well, you put a lot of work into it. Anybody'd be a little pissed off.
I wasn't like ungratefully angry. I was just like, no, why? Like, let's do it like this. Come on.
Right.
And so they counteracted with like, well, you know, we're developing animations now, trying to use this Unreal Engine thing for an experiment. Would you mind doing that? And when that idea got proposed to me, it opened things up a little more to being like, well, with this, it basically has no limitations in the storytelling. Whereas like, if we were to do it practically, there's a lot of limitations that we would have to do budget-wise. So it was able, it allowed me to kind of open up and think about an even bigger world than I had planned originally. So I was totally just like, yeah, let's do it. And that was a really fun experience, and for about 3 years until I got kicked off of it.
Can I just say that you mentioned the Dark Crystal? That was like one of my favorite movies as a child.
Okay.
I'm not gonna lie.
Hell yeah.
Nowadays, watching it as an adult, it's not as good as I thought. Like it's still a good movie for me. What's that called? What, nostalgic? Yeah. It's a good nostalgic movie.
It has the nostalgia factor to it.
Yeah, that's what it is for me. But nowadays, like my mom even mentioned it, if you watch it as an adult, it's the weirdest shit. And honestly, some of the worst shit that I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're finally relaunching that on Netflix soon, I think.
Nice. Still going to watch it.
One of my good friends that I work with a lot just did a lot of the sculpting for the new show, and it looks incredible. I mean, so like the visuals of that obviously are
going to be awesome. Yeah.
I'm so going to watch that.
It's going to be cool. And Netflix has been kind of experimenting with different things, so it's nice of them to bring something back. You know what I mean?
It's hit or miss. Netflix is hit or miss, but I do appreciate that they're just like making as much original content as they can, even if not all of it's a hit.
Right.
What's your like Netflix jam? Like, what's your series you're
into? Your binge watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Black Mirror, that probably goes across the board.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's, I haven't seen a better, well, I mean, but that's not necessarily Netflix. It is now, I guess. But
yeah.
It was BBC.
Yeah.
But let's see, like,
I know, it's a thinker.
It's a big question, yeah.
It's the biggest question.
Yeah, I'm so, they release so much stuff that I get so far behind on everything that's on there. I'm still only like halfway through that American Vandal show. That one's pretty good.
Oh my god, that show is so gripping and compelling. Yeah. But then the whole entire time you like ask yourself, do I really give a shit?
Right.
Like seriously, it goes like I don't know how many episodes long, and I'm like, this is like Law and Order. Like they're backing up evidence and like bringing in witnesses and doing all this shit, and then when it's all said and done, I'm just like, what have I done with my life? It's a ride though. You'll love it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of running a joke into the ground.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's like Scrubs, right?
What?
What?
American Vandal. Remember the dicks?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that was funny.
I do. On all the cars.
Who drew the dicks?
And I'm just...
Mine didn't have hairs.
I'm sitting there like, what is this real life? Right. Like, what is happening?
It's a pretty good show though. You'll like it a bit.
Right.
Oh my god.
There's so much good stuff. I was a big fan of Black Mirror. Did you ever see Dimension 404?
I did. That was the Hulu show, right?
Yeah, I feel like that was a perfect opposite.
Yeah, it was more like Black Mirror for teenagers. It was good.
Yeah, it was kind of like Twilight Zone-y, but like a little more. You got to see the whole thing played out, and it was more positive. It was like to me, it was like the perfect opposite to Black Mirror.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm like Tales from the Crypt on HBO is my favorite show of all time, and Twilight Zone is one of my favorites. So like anything anthology based and where there's a weird twist is my favorite.
I really like that.
So like franchise wise, like we're a nerd, I guess, podcast. We talk about comic books and movies, all these different like franchises like Marvel and fucking Batman and Star Wars and all this shit. What's your one that you kind of like? You hold on to, and you're like, I'm the ultimate fanboy of this.
You gravitate.
Just like I mentioned, Tales from the Crypt. It's on right now on mute.
Nice. You're just watching in the background.
I watched all 92 episodes probably 40 times each.
I can tell you're into the more horror shit. I can see it in your art, like you do the parody art. I love that. I think that's one of my favorite things.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm like, I'm a general fanboy of everything. I mean, like, I don't know anybody who's not like a Star Wars fanboy or, you know, like, so I appreciate all that, but I'm not really too gung-ho about a lot of stuff these days.
Like the modern movies and the modern just anything, or
I watch them and I absorb. Like I still love movies. Like I go to movies all the time. I watch every movie that comes out, and I still absorb it all. But it just nothing sticks to me as much as the nostalgic stuff.
So, what is your favorite nostalgic movie? Now that since we're on it, I'm just curious.
Let's see, man. I mean, I'm just like, I'm such an 80s horror guy that, like, you know, Creepshow, Night of the Comet, those kind of movies are that's what I watch all the time. It's just 80s horror.
That's awesome.
That is amazing. I like that answer. Best answer award goes to Alex Party.
Of the season of our show.
Yeah. That's really cool, actually. I am a big fan of horror in general, and not like the new school stuff. Also, just to be honest, like, it's kind of cool. I love the gore, and I love the thrilling, but it's just the story is played out, and it's, I don't know. So
It's like looking at new stuff. It's like looking at Freddy Krueger. The new shit's stupid. The old stuff rules.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to...
To me, the remake was really bad.
Like, there's some cool new stuff.
Yeah,
like,
Nightmares sucked.
Yeah.
What?
The remake of Freddy Krueger. It was horrible.
I don't think I've even seen it.
The guy who played it was the guy who played Rorschach in Watchmen. I forget his name, but he was good as Rorschach, and then I'm like, why'd you ruin it as trying to replace Freddy? Like, worst career move ever, you know?
And then it plummets.
And then everyone just falls apart. And then people's parents buy them the wrong DVD and they get upset when it's the new one.
Yeah.
For Christmas. Like, that happened to one of our friends. She was like, I don't have the heart to tell my dad he got me the new one, so I'm just going to keep it. It's just like, oh, well, that's nice of you.
Just re-gift it to somebody who wants it. Which is nobody.
Give it back to your dad and say it's the old one.
Yeah. There you go.
I bet that happens a lot now since they repackage everything
Yeah, because they give them, like, new generic covers or, like, limited edition or re-released, and then people can't tell the difference.
Right.
That's just...
And I don't even know anybody that goes to buy DVDs anymore.
Right? That's super old.
It's mostly Netflix.
I'd be like, if my mom got me a DVD, I'd be like, wow, that's impressive.
Like, why'd you go do this?
Right. Seriously, though, I mean, we have streaming, Netflix, Hulu, just... everything under fingertips, and now it's...
Oh, and if you're going to get someone a DVD, it's about the same cost to get them a really cool Blu-ray with, like, bonus features.
Right.
I would like, nerd out bonus on bonus features.
He's I'm a bonus features guy. He's all about those bonus fucking features.
If I love a movie, I'll go look at all the shit, and I'm just like, yeah, man, I love absorbing information.
Yeah.
I think that's why, like, I like anything that's kind of weird and nerdy, because... like, these universes, like, I don't know, take Star Wars, they keep making more shit. It could be horrible, Alex.
Right.
It could be the worst shit ever. You could be like, why are they doing this? But I would still love it. Because it's
because
it's an extension of, like, what I like already. And I think people kind of overlook that point, to where it's like, at least they're still making it, you know, and expanding. But, I don't know, like, Batman. People say there's too much Batman out there. But I
Gotham
think it's good.
Rocks.
Yeah.
And Gotham is essentially Batman.
Yeah, I don't know. The older that I get, the less... I was part of that bitter generation of, like, they're ruining my childhood. But now I don't even care. Now I'm just like, I mean, there's... the older I get, the more I'm just like, dude, go have fun with it. I'll watch it, and I probably won't like it, but I'll watch it.
Right. It's something to watch. Like, people get so upset about these things, and I don't know why.
I think also kind of like being involved in larger... cinematic projects or kind of being close to seeing how many people dedicate their lives to making something that is so, like, vulnerable for people to just go, that sucks.
Right.
Like, that makes me a lot more appreciative of just like, man, this is actually not that bad. Everybody worked really hard on it. Cool. Good for them.
Like, good job. Yeah. So, have you ever thought about working on movies? Have you worked on movies at all?
Yeah, I've done a few things. I actually made, let's see, my friend Adam Green, who's a director, he made Hatchet and Frozen and stuff. He's a horror director. He and I made a movie a few years ago called Digging Up the Marrow that was originally conceived by me and based off of this collection of art that I had done. And then he wrote and directed the film, and I got to make all the monsters for it, which was really fun.
Oh, cool. I never knew about that.
So I was involved in that the whole way. Yeah, you can get it out on VOD and DVD and Blu-ray and all that good stuff. And previous to that, I'd done some design concepts and stuff for movies, and I'd worked in advertising for movies. But I worked pretty heavily on Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch as well.
Really?
In the design aspects of it, so I was kind of along for the whole movie for that thing, doing a lot of the concept designs and a lot of the the original logo design that was there and a lot of the advertising
nice.
Stuff. So.
That's actually really cool, man.
Yeah, okay. That was an amazing project to work on.
Wow.
I gotta ask, was that you that made those samurai dudes?
No, I did. Okay. My role in that film was, since it was a completely original property, Zach had hired me to create a like an early style kind of guide for it. So I created these images that kind of they gave to the pre-production staff to be like, okay, make the movie kind of look like this style. And then they brought me back in during production to kind of take all the designs that were existing and punch them up. So it'd be like, here's the, you know, here's what we have for as far as like Baby Doll's katana and outfit, like what should we do? And then I'd be like, okay, cool, let's hire a blacksmith and let's engrave the entire story on the whole length of the blade, and here's what it should look like, and add these like cell phone charms to her gun, and let's give her this tie in the back of her seat, and like those kind of things. So I did a lot of like the visual punch ups for it,
like tweaking it and making it just a little bit different. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's cool. Great. I love the whole aesthetic of that movie, so I gotta say good job. Like, that was really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, that was cool. And that was the first time that I got to, like, go to the spirit store and buy a weapon that I designed.
That is really cool. I, honestly, like, I don't know. I feel like that's a really cool achievement in life. Like, just...
Oh, yeah, no. It was
man.
Insane.
What? And you really enjoy that movie, so...
Hell yeah. We have that movie.
Yeah, we do.
It fucks my brain up the whole time, the old dude. I'm like, who the fuck's the old dude? Like, this whole time, like, is he like, is some like crazy mystic guy? Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I love
movies
that do that.
Went through a lot of. It was interesting to be a part of that too, because the original film was so much darker than I think just like being able to like having it being trimmed to PG-13 kind of cost them some of the story points in it, I think, but it was. It was a really, really fucking fun experience to work on that.
So, since you work on so many different projects with different type of mediums, what is your favorite type of medium to work with?
My main thing that I like doing is drawing weird monsters with brush and ink and pen and ink.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what you do best, to be honest.
The watercolor stuff, but it's... Yeah, like, I like building worlds and just creating things that I haven't seen. That's what I like doing.
I love the colors you use. I'm a big, like, vibrant color, like, not like neons, but just, like, crisp color. I know that sounds weird. Yes! You're getting it.
Oh, man, you're really getting the Tory right now.
I'm just like,
Alex, you better slow down, buddy.
Like, that's what I have to, like, I love tattoo shops that have beautiful, like, saturated colors.
Yeah, it's hard to do that with a tattoo, and that's why, like, I kind of, like, think when your point was with the tattoos in your art, like, the watercolor is hard to... Do you know, like, it's hard to get that saturation and to make it stay.
Yeah, because they fade quick.
Yeah, well, and depending where you get it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you can't tell, we're, like, tattooed because we keep bringing it up. I'm just fascinated by it, you know what I mean?
We don't have any tattoos, actually. Not one.
I don't either.
We have zero.
It's a very rare specimen to not have tattoos these days.
Right, that is so weird to think about.
We are not rare.
Well, I think that's a cool thing,
but
at the same time... Like...
It is. People actually bring that up a lot, more frequently than you would think. It's a little bizarre, and I feel like it's just a thing going around.
What if, like, eventually, like, society becomes to where if you don't have a tattoo, you're like...
We're shunned.
Psh! What, like you're the opposite now? Like, it's switched
in the
future?
We're like the star people in Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I think
that's our future.
We're gonna be the star people, society. And they're gonna be the freaking blank chest people, and they're gonna send us off in this machine, and they're gonna stamp stars on our chest or something.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a horrible experience.
I think the only difference is that we can lie about it, because unless you strip us, you can't.
Right.
It's going to be like one of those weird pat-downs,
oh
I'm telling you.
Oh my god, this would be such a fucked up future.
Where you get weird pat-downs on the daily.
I'm such a fan of, like, alternate realities and alternate futures and, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I love anything that talks about that. It's so cool.
Did you watch that new Amazon show that Philip K. Dick did yet?
What's it called?
I forget what it's called, but it just came out, like, 3 or 4 days ago, but it's an anthology show, but it's all based around the Philip K. Dick, the sci-fi author. It's a lot of his stories.
No, I haven't heard of this yet.
Oh, I can't remember the name. Maybe I can look it up.
Yeah, we should check this out.
That sounds awesome. I was interested in that. Man, there needs to be like a page for cool shit that comes out that people don't normally hear about.
You know, there is, I'm sure, but we don't know what it's called.
We just need to like super deeply look. Or Facebook. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just called Electric Dreams is what it's called.
Ooh, okay, we'll check it out.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any good. Not vouching for it yet, but curious about it.
No, but we appreciate you telling us. We can always use a good new movie. Right. Or at least we're always a new movie. Like,
what should we watch? I don't know. We've seen everything.
Play Star Wars or Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. We're big gamers when we have nothing to do sometimes.
What are you playing right now?
Right now, mainly Star Wars Battlefront 2.
We played Left 4 Dead the other night,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead 2.
I like Dying Light. I'm a big zombie game girl. Yeah.
Did you play Resident Evil 7?
No.
No.
So good.
Yeah? Nice.
What system do you have? I just have to ask.
I have an Xbox One.
Nice. See, there's a couple games on PlayStation that I really want, so I want to have both. We have an Xbox One, but I want to get a PlayStation.
I'll eventually get it because I want to get Last of Us 2, but we'll see.
Yeah, I heard that was good.
And what's that about?
The Last of Us. It's like an end of the world apocalypse.
That's the freaking game I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I want to get.
It's supposed to be.
And that is
crazy.
Purely why I want the PlayStation.
Yeah.
The rest of it is yours.
PlayStation's got some pretty good games too, though. Like, they got that Spider-Man game. I want to get that for the virtual reality.
True.
That's just too crazy to pass up. Like, virtual reality helmet Spider-Man game? Like, are you kidding me?
Technology nowadays.
Have you guys done a lot of VR stuff?
I've never really done a lot of it. I've seen it at cons. Like, the last con we had a booth at, like, I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to go do that. And I, like, walked around it, like, 80 times over the weekend. And then I never did it because we had interviews and shit. Uh-huh. But, I always wanted to do it, and I was there at like 8 in the morning, and they didn't even set it up, and I forgot about it later. I was like, fuck.
I got a chance to do it a few, like, recently. Like, I was anti-VR for a long time because it didn't interest me, and then finally I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna try this because I wanted to kind of try the art programs that were there and just kind of experience it, because I know that, like, everything's going to be VR in the next 10 years.
So, oh, yeah.
I just, like, had to do it, but it's really, really interesting and really engaging and also so disorienting.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's so crazy, like, that, like, it tricks your body. I mean, even things like if you're walking around as a character that's not the same height as you, taking steps makes you feel sick. It's weird.
That's weird.
Like, I did it. A few weeks ago, I did it like a meet and greet in VR, which is a really interesting. It was like this weird new beta version of a Second Life world called Sanzar, and I did like a meet and greet inside Sanzar, and I was able to do it for like over an hour and a half or so, and it was totally fine. And then the next day, I tried to do it again, and like 10 minutes, I got sick.
That's crazy.
So when you say meet and greet, are you saying like online where you meet other people also in virtual reality?
Yeah, it was really weird. I did this like appearance where they had a host and like I built an avatar and put on these glasses and went into this like certain exhibit inside this world. And then other users would come there to ask me questions and stuff.
That is really cool. So
it was like I was talking to avatars like in person, and it was really odd.
That is crazy. Have you ever? I just have to ask. Have you ever played Toontown?
Toontown? No, I haven't.
Oh my god!
I have to bring it up. We're on the subject. It wasn't like a virtual reality, but it was like these cool like Disney cartoons. I know Mikey's like palm facing right now. They were Disney cartoon characters. Like you could be Donald Duck, or well, kind of like you could make your own duck and make your own mouse and make your own Pluto. It was really cool, and you could chat with characters and play games and play tag. It was online. It was really freaking sweet. It just kind of reminds me of that, just without the virtual reality and person aspect.
Right.
But that would creep me out. How exactly do you move around in a virtual reality game if you don't have, like, a wide space to move around in?
Oh, it's basically, you have, like, two joysticks, and then one of the joysticks you point to where you want your character to walk.
You have a joystick? I did not know you had a joystick. That makes way more sense. Very cool. Okay. Yeah. I was just thinking, like, do you just, like, lean forward? Does it sense that, like a hover?
Or something?
That would be cool.
I haven't used, I've only used a couple different VRs. I've used, like, an Oculus and a Vive, and, like, they both of them have controllers. So.
That is really cool. Because they're making VR for different systems now, aren't they?
I think they're gonna
start. Going to.
Yeah.
Which is just awesome.
Hell yeah.
I would get that. I'm not normally the person to buy, like, high-end shit or get stuff, like, but I would get
that. That's something that you should kind of go out and spend good money on, though.
It's really,
like,
cool.
Like you said, it's kind of the future, like...
It really
pretty
is.
Pretty soon you'll have the news in VR. Like, you'll all be standing in a fucking audience.
Pretty soon we're going to be all, like, interacting in VR, and none of us will be outside. We're going to work in VR.
Yeah, no, that's pretty inevitable, which is a little scary. So we should be exercising now.
Right.
you've seen WALL-E, I assume.
Yes.
We're going to be those people.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, my God.
You're just like, don't remind me.
Welcome to Predicting the Horrible Futures That Could Be
on
with Alex Pardee.
Yes.
This is a fun time. I love those alternate reality kind of ideas. You watch Rick and Morty, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Rick and Morty is, like, probably the best show that's been on TV in 5-10 years.
Dear God. Dan Harmon is a genius, man. I watch Community, and I love that show as well. Like, so good.
Yeah, it's super, super smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. We gotta take a minute to pay the bills, so we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Macabre Scents was established in 2015. They specialize in scented candles and solid perfumes with a darker twist, taking only the best soy wax and essential oils to recreate some of your favorite horror and cult classic films within a candle. Night of the Living Dead, The Craft, Nightmare on Elm Street, Hocus Pocus, Evil Dead, and Psycho, just to name a few. Want something a little more unusual? Macabre Scent store owner Candace is the inventor of the Phobia candle. Are you afraid of spiders, dark woods, or even coffins? Macabre Scent has a candle for that, taking a combination of essential oils to create or soothe your fears. Macabre Scent is on Etsy at Macabre Scent Store. Also find Macabre Scent on Instagram and Facebook for shop updates and pics. Smell the fear. Discover the strange and unusual with Macabre Scents. From January 1st until February 14th, if you use the coupon code
UNUSUAL,
you will get $10 off of purchase of $30 or more on Etsy.
UNUSUAL.
It's just
like the Wild West. It's so dangerous.
I forgot what I saw, but there was this lady wiping her windshield with the weirdest thing. Like, it was a wiper blade, but she was holding it for some reason. It wasn't attached to the truck. She was, like, wiping her windshield as she's driving. And I don't know. I don't know if I should be impressed or worried or just, like, I'm indifferent.
Sounds about right.
When was this? What are you talking about?
I just saw this video online about Florida. A Floridian. A lady in Florida.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them Floridians.
Floridians.
Sounds like fluoride. I'm so sorry.
Fluorides.
You are part of water, actually.
So you like living in LA?
Yeah, I do. I like it a lot. I didn't like it too much when I worked here a lot growing up. Or when I first started kind of like my art career, I was down here working a lot. And I didn't quite understand a lot of like how to deal with people and stuff. And it seemed like really weird and surreal and fake. And I felt like I was getting like, you know, taken advantage of. And so I really didn't like it. But now that I'm older and I kind of like realize that it's just kind of who I surround myself with, it's really great.
Right. that's all that matters. It's you just gotta have to have a close, tight circle.
Right.
Just keep it tight butthole, you know?
A tight bunghole. Totally. I am cornholio. I just have to ask. Yes. Have you had snow? It's a random question. Damn.
God damn it.
we moved out here kind of like very recently within the last couple months, and so it's been like we came out here with this big guilt of like, oh my God, the rest of the world's freezing right now.
Yeah, well, as you're sitting on a beach just hanging out in the sun,
drinking
no big
your teas.
Deal. Right, it's, like,
I mean, it is really nice.
That's awesome, man. Good for you. We're like freezing our balls off. New Year's Eve was like negative 21 or some bullshit. I'm like, what the fuck's going on, world? What did I do? Like, but it's slowly getting better. Now it's like 50s.
It's
going
to be 50 tomorrow. So Nebraska has all the seasons in a week, if you don't know.
Yeah.
It's just normal for us, so.
Pretty much.
I am so serious. Like, we'll have a 50-degree day. We just had negative 20-degree weather like a day or two ago, and it's...
No, we didn't. That was like New Year's Eve, but it was like really fucking cold.
It was really cold a day or
two
ago.
Felt like
it. I was about to have icicles as my toes, so it was really cold.
Well, hopefully that warm weather will give you more good inspiration.
I know. You can like sit out and relax, and I'm sure you already do, and like draw on your easel or whatever you draw on. It's the bee's knees.
So I've seen like this weird thing that you and your wife do in the airport.
Okay.
Where you guys greet each other in these weird outfits.
We do.
What is this?
What is this?
What is this and why and like...
How did it start?
How did it start? Yeah.
Who was
like,
the... What was the first?
Well, it started... So Chloe is one of like my biggest kind of like influences and inspirations and has been for years and years and years. And when we first started dating, like she just kind of like inspired me to be like weirder, or I guess not weirder, but more like fun and silly and stuff. And she's pretty fun and silly. And so we both, ever since we first started dating, we both traveled a lot. And it just kind of was one of those things where like we would spend time apart and feel creative when we were spending time apart. So when I'd go pick her up at the airport, it started first with just like a sign that said Chloe with like a heart on it. And then she put up a sign that said like Alex with like a little joke at the end or something in small writing. And then it just kind of spiraled to where it became this like friendly, not even competition, but just more like, well, we better one-up each other each time. So it kind of got more and more ridiculous where we just started buying outfits and embarrassing ourselves in the airports. And she kind of dropped the mic a few months ago when I got back from San Diego Comic-Con, I think it was. And she had not only – she dressed up – it was her – and she got her mom and she got a photographer to document it. And it was, she dressed up as basically Mario Kart and her mom was the cloud with the fish.
Oh my God.
But she was Luigi. She had Mario there. She had the cloud, the Koopa cloud. And it was insane.
That's with the car and everything.
Yeah.
That's so fucking cool.
There must be pictures.
This is love, people.
Right. Like, damn.
Yeah, if you look up, on Instagram, there's a hashtag that's crap airport signs, and that has a lot of them on it. Crap is our initials, which is even better.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is amazing.
I'm gonna look them up and like start looking at all these. That's gonna be awesome.
You need shirts.
So what's your favorite one that you've done?
I think my favorite that I've done is Tori, you might like this because you're a fan of zombies, but I totally did myself in zombie makeup and bloody outfit and all this torn up clothes, and I had a sign that said I've been dying without you, and I went to the airport as a zombie, and it was really, that was the only one I think that like security was a little bit wary of.
Right.
They probably thought you were real. You were scaring the shit out of them.
They were like, what the fuck's this guy gonna do?
Yeah, it was funny. So I was in character the whole time too, just kind of dragging my foot through the whole airport. It was pretty fun.
That's amazing, actually. Tell me someone got footage of this.
We have photos, yeah.
That's awesome. Now, did you have like a professional makeup artist do it for you? Did you do it yourself?
No, I think that's what's fun about it is that like there's no like it, you know, it's spirit store costumes and just like
so it's like
craft makeup, but it's kind of like the idea is what's fun about it. So.
It's effortless effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cosplay.
You're like, I'm going to throw it together to make it look, it'll be fun.
Right.
It's the performance that carries it.
Oh, of course.
Totally.
That's what's most important about it all.
That's so cool, man.
You gotta pull through the whole act.
Crap airport signs. All right. We got to look this up.
I'm going to. That is hilarious. I'm dying.
So something new that you've started, which I thought was pretty fucking like interesting, was the idea for the Twitch TV show Sketch for Sketch.
Yeah.
That is so cool. You take other people's art and like they'll draw you something and then you make your own spin off of it.
Yeah, basically, yeah. The concept behind it is exactly that. It's like encouraging people to scribble or draw or sketch or whatever their form of art that they want to do and submit it to me. And basically I apply my mixture of my imagination, my inspiration, and my style to it and make something new on Twitch while people are watching and chatting and hanging out. And it's awesome. Like it was something that I just started last week and we're about, I think we're on episode 7 starting on Monday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's been really fun. It was originated from an actual project that myself and my friend, who's also another artist, Dave Correa, who we actually did that, about 8 or 9 years ago, we did a live tour version of that before the streaming version, obviously, where we actually went to visited cities and had kids line up and actually, like, our goal was to, like, get kids drawing. So it was like, even if, like, you don't draw, like, if you want to hang out with us, you got to scribble something and then we'll trade you art in person and talk. And it was really, really fun and successful. So I'd been thinking about how to do it in another format for so long, and finally, like, it hit me that, you know, why not start it online?
Yeah, that's a great idea, and especially at Twitch, you know what I mean? There's so many people on Twitch.
That gives me such ideas. Do you mind if I kind of take your idea and spin off of it here in Omaha?
No, you're good.
Because that's amazing.
Go for it.
I think that's the whole idea of the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's spinning off, you know?
Ideas are tingling
up in
my brain.
And it's fun to get people to collaborate. I think that's always...
Oh, absolutely.
That's something that gets my nerd tingle, like, going. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always excited
just,
about
just
it.
Just being a part, offering, you know, people to be a part of it and take a part in kind of the creative process.
Right.
That is really cool. I like that.
I've seen a couple of the pictures that you have posted. I saw there was, like, a pig with feet coming out of it and legs coming out of it.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite one. That one is so ridiculous.
That was fucking hilarious. That's cool. I like how you take it and you kind of put your own spin on it, because there is, like, I don't know, to put it in a weird term, there is a weird, like, method to the madness, you know? Like, right. You have this, like, such a methodical way of drawing, like, even to where you use different techniques and tools and, like, air blow drying your shit to, like, speed it up and do different stuff. I think it's awesome. Like, I like that you're so methodical. You know what I mean?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's like surgery, man.
it's like surgery if the surgeon didn't really know what he was doing and kind of just stabbed around the heart for a while.
Right, and then created something that was either, like, hideous but, like, beautiful or, like, crazy and, like, warped but awesome. You know what I mean? Like,
right. That's
awesome. Like, the reanimator of nightmares.
It's warped and beautiful.
You know who else is warped and beautiful? No, I'm just joking. But BPI Multimedia, one of our sponsors. If you need a good photo BPI. Shoot or senior pictures,
Multimedia.
Anything, couple shoots, they're your peeps here in Nebraska. BPI Multimedia.
TheBomb.com.
Woo! So yeah, here on the Weekly Geekly, we kind of started off as like a comic book podcast, I guess. Or like, you know, just diving into pop culture, and then we just expand onto like art we love and movies we love and just things that get us excited.
I like to call it the passion podcast, because I feel like art is so many different realms than just, you know, like the standard art that we think of. Like, there's way, there's vast majorities and varieties of art.
Totally different mediums. Yeah. Right.
Like, I can't find the words. Don't mind me.
I think, obviously, one of mine is comic books. What is one of yours, Tori? Like, what's your favorite medium
of art? I'd say...
I don't know. It's kind of a hard question, but what's the one you linger towards the most?
Other than the traditional art forms of, like, I love painting, I love sculpting, I love restoring and making sculptures out of bones and whatnot, but I would have to say collecting.
Collecting,
is
yeah.
a big art passion of mine. Just, like, keeping that... restoration of art pieces and or not even just art pieces but like medical pieces right. that I collect
you
and
should
whatnot.
See our house, Alex. It's creepy as fuck.
I'm into that.
Yeah, we have so many creepy we got
all right everything. Let me just tell you then, sorry everybody.
She's,
listening,
she's gonna
but
take a passion moment to just
I
show,
am
tell
I
you.
Just it's just so amazing when I talk to other weird people,
right? It's rare that we find other people that are passionate about creepy shit,
seriously. So I have an 1865 medical kit. It has an amputation saw. It's pretty cool. A mortician's handbook, a 1940s medical kit. I have a bunch of bones. I have a freezer full of dead animals that I'm waiting to get my beetles to clean. A little creepy boy tintype photo. And I'm always looking for more. And I love old vintage board games as well. So
that's nice. That's have like you had a chance here. To make it up to the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia?
Don't even start with me on that because... I want to so badly, and somebody on my Facebook friends list went, and they posted a couple pictures of them outside and whatnot, and I was like, dude, I am so jealous right now. So don't get me started, Alex.
I got to go there one time years ago, and it was so amazing.
That's awesome. We're always a fan of, like, flea markets and stuff like that. We try to always get to, like, thrift stores and things and, like, find good deals. It's hard in Omaha because... You know, we're not as packed on top of each other as the coasts.
We need more
but...
like small town ones too.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I think was one of the interesting, unique things in Florida was the flea markets that were insane.
What?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, because everyone retires there, and like there are a lot of people in Florida.
The estate sales were the fun. Ones where you get all the old people stuff and cool. Modern furniture and stuff, but the flea markets were like totally insane. They were like scary insane, where like there was like still couldn't even believe that half of the stuff was there. There was like full booths of like Nazi memorabilia and full KKK out.
Oh my god.
It's like it's terrifying. But at the same and then the booth next to it you can buy a hollowed out baby doll from like the 1940s for like $10, and you're like, this is so weird.
Okay.
I want to go. This sounds like my kind of place.
Yeah, totally. We should just take a traveling trip and thrift.
Well, we are going next year.
Woo!
Man.
That would be fun.
I'm totally visiting thrift stores while I'm there, Alex. Thank you for that. And so, like markets.
Alex, I think let me guess your collecting thing.
All right. Do you you collect?
Masks.
You were supposed to guess, right?
Masks.
That's a pretty good guess, and it's that's actually like a that is pretty much the only thing that I collect. But I actually don't even collect them. I just buy them all the time and lose them.
So, that's funny.
I used to collect. I've gone through so many stages of my life from. Comic books to Garbage Pail Kids to baseball cards for some weird reason to, you know, Spawn toys and stuff like that for years, and Star Wars toys and all that. And then I just found myself, I moved 12 times in 13 years. And over those 12 times, every time it just became harder and harder to move and store stuff. So I eventually had like kept selling off more of my collection to just afford moving.
Right.
And so then eventually I was like, you know what? I make things for a living, and I think that I'm going to chill on collecting for a little while and just like stare at it on Instagram and be stoked on it. So,
right.
So like, aside from like, I still buy graphic novels and comic books, but I don't, and I buy masks when I see the weird ones, and then, but I usually like cut them up or like lose them somehow or get them all messy. So I don't really necessarily collect anything at the moment. I just have a lot of weird stuff.
I was going to ask, you said somehow, but I'm just curious on how and where you lose these masks.
Yeah, right. Like, what are you doing?
So my girlfriend Chloe's a photographer, and she's a photographer professionally, but on like her spare time, we go out and, you know, we'll grab a bag of props and just go into the, you know, wherever we are, and put weird masks on or whatever. And same with like my friends, like we just do kind of weird stuff, and I take things with me. My trunk always has weird masks in it, so I don't know when I lose stuff. But I'm also, yeah, I'm also just like out and about being weird a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is.
That's so cool.
That's
so,
a better answer than I thought. I thought you were gonna say like your car eats it, or you know.
I thought you were gonna be like,
literally like probably like leave them on the side of some weird place where we took a photo, and then it probably changes someone's life the right. next week so, upon it.
Some people are like giving some hidden meaning behind this mask, like a story that isn't there. You're yeah. just like causing all these incidents because people find all these masks.
Yeah, it's like the origins of some creepypastas or something.
Oh my god, that'd this be crazy, be like creepy movie. And like each one of these masks creates a story, like based on what you think it is.
All right, Alex, it sounds like you have a project. I'm just kidding, but that would be awesome. What?
Oh, I said another project.
Oh right,
that's right. It's like those things where you're like, I need this another thing to sit on my shelf. It's another project.
So many projects, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's. I think that's what I collect actually is commitments.
Commitment.
That is the best answer.
I love it.
The best thing. That needs to, honestly, a shirt. A shirt that says that.
That's what you collect.
Commitment. Yes.
A commitment hoarder.
A commitment hoarder.
So we're not even going to title this, like with Alex Party, is we're just going to title this episode Commitment Hoarder.
Yeah.
No, I'm just totally joking.
Everyone's going to get to know you right away.
They're like, what the hell? Oh, my God. Well, dude, we really appreciate you sitting down and talking with us. This was fun.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I really enjoyed learning a little bit more about what you've done in the past and things aside from your awesome art. Like, it's really just... it's interesting what you've done, and I really enjoyed listening to it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So for the people listening who want to tune in to Sketch for Sketch, when can we air? When does that air on Twitch TV?
So Sketch for Sketch is airing weekly on both Mondays and Wednesday nights at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
And it'll be on my Twitch channel, which is just under my name, Alex Pardee, AlexPardee. And also, most of the information and all the links and everything are on all of my social sites, which is all just at Alex Pardee or alexpardee.com.
Yeah, you got it easy with all your social sites because some of us can't name them all the same thing because people take our names.
That's
like, I think that is like this weird hidden benefit that I've had from being able to like be interested in social sites as soon as they come out. Like, you know, 10 years ago I was, you know, already on Twitter, like one of the first 1,000 people or whatever was on there, and it was just like, all right, well, this is fun, I'm gonna do this with all of these.
Nice.
You're just basically taking your spot. Not right. A big deal. It's your role.
Smart role. Take That's it right. Before someone else does. What if someone Get else it. Takes your name, you know?
Yeah. Pumping you up.
Oh, God. I hope no one else does that. There have been people to, like, try to pose as people.
Catfishing?
Yeah. Oof. That Ooh. Would be bad.
Ooh.
But, yeah. Hopefully no one does that.
Or the weekly geekly catfish seekers.
Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on, Alex. We really appreciate it.
Definitely.
As always, right. I'm Mikey Colsheen.
I'm Tori Kroll.
And with us has been
Alex Pardee.
Thank you all for listening, and have a good night.
Or don't.
Or don't. Hey guys, Mikey here from the Weekly Geekly to tell you about our new Patreon page. For those of you who have been looking to support us in any way possible and help make our dreams come true, go to
www.patreon.com/theweeklygeekly and make a monthly donation. This money helps us go to more cons, get more guest interviews, even maybe get some videos up here and again. I know we've been talking to someone about getting some animation started, so that could be a project we do. But patreon.com/theweeklygeekly. There you'll get more exclusive content, stuff you can't find on the show. We're starting our reading of the Jedi Path Jedi Manual book. And also, we might have some fun boudoir shoots as well. So if you want to support us, go to www.patreon.com/theweeklygeekly and make a minimum monthly donation of $1 to get all of your exclusive content. Thanks, geeks.